on sense and nonsense. In 1962, Stan Lee introduced Spider-Man to the world. Little Peter Parker, the studious and very disciplined high school boy who was bitten by a radioactive spider on a class field trip. A field trip to a science exhibit in the 1960s where the researchers knew how to mutate spiders with radiation, but didn't know that spiders weren't insects. And it was the bite of one of those insects that gave Peter his sixth sense, spider sense. That was Stan Lee's alliterative coinage of precognition. A decade later, in 1972, a really low-rated paranormal TV series aired on ABC called The Sixth Sense. Despite being one of the worst shows ever to air on any network anywhere in the Milky Way since the beginning of time, it was still somehow renewed for a second season. In 1999, Haley Joel Osment was cast to play a boy who could see dead people. This was also called The Sixth Sense, except this version, which had nothing to do with the TV show, grossed over $600 million, was nominated for a lot of awards and won some of them, including the Academy Award for Best Picture. A decade after that, in 2009, Pranav Mistry and Patty Mays each gave TED Talks about Sixth Sense, a gestural interface device made in MIT's Media Lab that enables people to do things like dial phones and take pictures without having phones or cameras in one's hands. They went on to become two of the most frequently viewed TED Talks of all time. The point of saying all of this is to illustrate how popular the idea of a sixth sense is, and how pervasive the fantasy that human beings might be capable of experiencing, or otherwise exhibiting, such a sense. Taste, touch, sound, smell, sight, and whatever the sixth one is. Usually it's something like extrasensory perception, or ESP, which was coined by the 19th century poet Frederick Myers to indicate a collective sixth sense of psychic abilities like clairvoyance and precognition, that spider sense. Whatever the supplemental sense is, it's always something mysterious, something vaguely spiritual, something alien, the sort of sense that baffles science, and this is nonsense. As a matter of common sense, that should be obvious, so I shouldn't have to explain it. I shouldn't have to explain why ESP is a totally ridiculous thing to believe in. But I'm going to. I will do that explaining, just not yet. Before we get there, one has to admit that the actual, factual existence of any sense at all is much more interesting and mysterious than the fantasy of a sixth sense. People are just collections of atoms, and atoms don't have properties in the way that you and I have properties. The atoms that make us aren't skin-colored, and even if they were, they wouldn't be able to tell because they can't see. They can't hear, they can't taste, they can't smell. They aren't conscious in the way that we are conscious. Group a bunch of atoms together to make a tree, and it can't see or hear or taste or smell, and it has no idea if you're petting it. Clump those same senseless atoms together in a human form, and the result is a bundle of very real senses. Senses that enable me to record little chapters like this, and enable you to find and hear them, and to enjoy or hate or be bored by them. That is interesting, and mysterious and spiritual and alien and baffling on a lot of levels. But ESP is not. It's none of those things. It's just stupid. It's a ridiculous thing to believe in. If it were possible, there would be an enormous number of people who could do it. You and everyone you know would be capable. It would be as common a sense as hearing, because predicting the future has profound survival implications. A creature that's capable of predicting the future, of anticipating threats, would survive much better than its oblivious counterparts. And unless natural selection happened to make an extremely rebellious exception, those survivors would have populated the globe by now. Not having ESP would be considered a crippling disability. If a child lacked ESP, he would be treated as a special needs student. If an adult lost ESP, we would send flowers, because flowers seem to be the customary gift for the newly devastated. Given that the world isn't filled to the brim with ESP-ing stockbrokers and athletes and lawyers and researchers and police officers and engineers and pilots and financial advisors and fishermen and teachers and IT techs and phlebotomists and military personnel and so on, it obviously doesn't exist in anyone. Likewise, any other magical sixth sense would be comparably abundant if it ever existed in a single person with functional reproductive organs. So using this concept as a premise for science fiction plots is a practice that needs to stop. Now, does that mean human beings will never have a sixth sense? No, it does not mean that. Everyone alive has a sixth sense already, and a seventh, and an eighth, and a ninth, and so on. We have tons of senses. All we are is giant, usually ugly, fleshy bundles of senses. Let me give you an example. How warm is it where you are? Where I am, it's about 60. I haven't looked. I can just sense it. Or how much time has passed since you last ate? There are two senses at work here, one of them being an appetite, the other being an entire dimension you're sensing, the passage of time. On the subject of appetite, you're definitely sensing it, but you're not tasting it. You're feeling it, but you're not feeling it by way of touch. It's its own sensation. And sensing an appetite is different from sensing a craving, which is different from a stomach ache. And on the subject of dimensions, depth perception is sort of its own sense. Just ask an outfielder or a cyclops. 20/20 vision will not qualify any athletic 20-something to be a major league center fielder. And depth perception is different from color perception, which is different from the ability to sense movement. These are all very different capacities under the visual hood. While they can be sort of indelicately lumped into sight, sight isn't that simple. For example, if someone were to be discovered with X-ray vision, the headlines would come without end. Arizona nurse practitioner discovered with sixth sense. But X-ray vision would hardly be any more distinct from the apparent sense than depth or color perception is. Or how about electricity? Go plug a fork into an outlet. You don't have to smell it, or see it, or taste it, or hear it. It's not applying a sense of touch to you. But the moment that fork lights you up, you'll know. You'll sense it. Or what about mood states, like fear and anger and depression? I'm sure you can sense those too. Road rage hardly seems a sensible response to any provocation, but it's a sense that's felt daily by an awful lot of American commuters. And terror is a sensation you'll feel all over. If a real live T-Rex were screaming in your face, I have a hunch you'd experience a different sensation compared to the one you'd feel if it were a house cat doing the screaming. And unless you're a sociopath, I'm sure you can sense all of those mood states in others as well. Also, for the non-sociopaths of the world, I'm sure you can sense shame and guilt. All the characteristics of consciousness are uniquely sensed, and sensed for a reason. Guilt, for example, is linearly related to the likelihood of getting caught. It exists to dissuade you from performing punishable acts. The ability to sense guilt and the desire to avoid it increases the odds that you'll fornicate your genes into future generations. But the guilty conscience of your high-risk behavior feels nothing like the sense of sound, which is different from sexual desire, which is different from an orgasm, which is different from, but kind of a companion to, guilt and shame. Or how about jealousy, or pride, or impatience? And isn't suspiciousness just a less precise version of that spider sense? And do you get seasick? What do you think that comes from? Taste? Hearing? Even if you've never experienced motion sickness, there are other senses you'll notice while traveling. Go ride shotgun with a teenager behind the wheel and you'll feel a lot. Even when accompanying the safest driver in the world, there's a very prominent sensation of being a passenger in a decelerating car, very different from acceleration. You'll notice acceleration, but that won't take you out of sleep. It's when the driver decelerates that you'll reflexively press your foot into the floor where the brake pedal isn't. There's a sympathetic nervous system response that gets triggered there. You feel it. States of anxiety and panic never go unnoticed. You'll sense every one of them. Just like you sense all of your sore muscles, they're not touching you. Muscle soreness is not the sensation of touch. It's a sensation of chemoreceptors delivering sensory information to your brain. And sometimes, like maybe the day after a mile of lunges, that information results in you feeling so much soreness that you can barely sit on the toilet. And on the subject of toilets, unless you've survived a bad cervical fracture, I'm sure you can sense the need to pee. And that feeling can get pretty intense. If you have a history of road trips, you've probably either peed in a soda bottle or had to pull the car over where the roadside brush and brambles were thick enough to provide a tiny bit of privacy. Any sense that can elicit that much indignity is a pretty potent one. And if you were just a passenger, if you weren't the one behind the wheel at the time, maybe it was alcohol that induced your need to pee so badly. Alcohol blocks vasopressin. Vasopressin is the hormone that keeps your pee in, so get a few drinks in you, and you'll start sensing that bladder summon savage. This brings up another set of senses. Alcohol does. I'm sure you can sense the intoxication it gives you. If you couldn't, nobody in the world would have a drinking problem. Without this sixth sense, the letters AA would not have people leaping to thoughts of recovery programs. Instead, American Airlines would probably have a monopoly on the letter association. Or maybe people would just think about AA batteries or athletic apparel, or amino acids or the Academy Awards or administrative assistance, something automotive, maybe whatever the thought, it wouldn't be one with 12 steps. Alas, alcohol definitely triggers senses beyond the bladder, and that's why the average person in recovery has about a dozen one-month coins. Among those unfortunate souls staggering around off the wagon, having just invalidated their latest coins, I'm sure they can sense the awkwardness of their gaits. This particular sense is called proprioception. If you didn't have it, it would be nearly impossible to ascend a flight of stairs without staring at your feet the whole time. You don't know their position by the way they sound or smell or taste, and feeling the ground touching your feet isn't enough. You need something more. More is receptors in your inner ear and your joints and tendons that constantly tell you what your head and various bits are doing, and where those bits are in space as they're doing it. That's how you get up the stairs, and what allows you to close your eyes and still find your nose with your finger, as long as you're almost sober. That sense of bodily awareness comes to you by way of proprioception, but this sense isn't just about bodily awareness. The term was coined by Charles Scott Sherrington in 1906 to indicate a sense of ownership. Proprioception, propriety, property that you possess. It's largely through this sense that we identify our bodies as entities that belong to us, hunks of biology over which we exert control, always certain of every position and action. It's this certainty and awareness that facilitate the sense of ownership. Just that your arms are connected to stuff that's connected to your face isn't enough to give those arms a oneness with the you that you identify as yourself. If you doubt me here, consider the tapeworm. If a tapeworm squirmed all up into your insides, you're not going to have a proprioceptive connection with it, so it's unlikely that you'll identify with it in the way that you identify with your limbs, and if you removed it, you wouldn't wind up with phantom worm pains. Contrarily, if you amputate some chunk of your bodily real estate, you're bound to some phantom sensations, whether painful or otherwise. I could continue this point for another hour, but you're probably already sensing some boredom, and I think I've already accomplished the purpose, which was merely to outline how proprioception facilitates a sense of ownership. And the purpose of doing that was so that I could illustrate how terrible it would be if you lost that sense. In The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, Oliver Sacks presents several case histories of patients who did lose it. Patients who, when their brain chemistry went awry, would fall out of bed every night, because they woke up to find someone else's dead, hairy leg lying next to them. This obviously gave them the creeps, and so they would push it out of bed, and then they would go tumbling out after it because it was attached. They just lacked the ability to sense it in a proprietary way. Another guy got so frustrated with the leg that he didn't know was his own that he punched it. Imagine how awful your life would be if you lost this sixth sense as well, and how truly unlivable your life would be if your total number of senses were reduced to five. No shortage of books and articles would be written about your brief and terrible life. The man who only had five senses, or whatever. You'd never feel short of breath, you'd never feel pain, i.e. congenital analgesia, horrible condition that results in most of its sufferers accidentally biting off pieces of their tongues. You'd experience nothing but sight, smell, taste, sound, and touch. You'd be at the bottom of the animal kingdom, barely attuned to the world around you. That's not to say that the fully functioning human possesses every sense in that kingdom. Some animals appear to be in touch with weather fronts in a way that people aren't. When a natural disaster is on its way, there are a couple creatures that seem capable of anticipating it without the aid of a meteorologist. Cows often know when it's about to rain, maple leaves curl up before a storm. There are a lot of senses at play here, a lot of phenomena being detected. But while people might not have the keenest detection skills in these areas, that doesn't mean all of it completely escapes us. For example, we do have an ability to sense charged ions in the air. Falling water generates negative ions. This promotes a peaceful sensation. In contrast, an air-conditioned office building will be a lot more positively charged. This can promote a systemic irritation that would be unfair to blame exclusively on one's boss. And on the subject of environmental influences, I know a Danielle and a Haley who share an emotional constitution that's based strictly on sunlight. Their well-being is powered by photons and destroyed by clouds. A condition really boring people would refer to as seasonal affective disorder. Perhaps their ancestors were a bit more courageous than mine, daring to leave the caves a few generations before this troglodyte family tree rooted itself under the full sun, which is why today the Danielles and Haleys of the world are in touch with the solar environment in a way that I am not. The way sunlight alters their chemistry is noticeably different from how my chemistry does its sun sensing, at least in orders of magnitude. And this isn't just a sense of sight, because I'm looking at the exact same stuff, but my afternoons are never gladdened by an unobstructed sunbeam. However, having left the cave so early, I suspect Haley and Danielle are far worse at echolocation than I am. Not that I'm good, I, like all people, am really terrible, but I'm probably a tiny bit less really terrible than they are. And much less terrible than I am are blind people. They're the least unskilled echolocators of the clothed apes. They're still bad at it, but some of them appear to be proficient enough to navigate around, without dying or looking totally ridiculous, using echoes of things like their footfalls to build a network of object proximity. While this is interesting, and wonderful and inspiring, referring to it as their sixth sense, or at least fifth, owing to the absence of sight, would be to suggest that blind people can't sense heat. Every living species expresses all of the senses it needs to survive, given the biological stresses and strains of its environment, or at least all of the possible senses that it can metabolically support. That's why bats are good at echolocation. They need to be. They're still nocturnal. They never emerged from the caves like we did. So their senses need to be geared for navigation in what Roald Dahl calls the witching hour. Our senses are not optimized for that hour. We climbed out of the caves and joined the daytime market a long time ago. Perhaps my ancestors clung to their night-prowling tendencies a bit longer than Haley's or Danielle's, but none of us is so nocturnal that we need to echolocate to the dinner table. So all we're left with is a practically imperceptible vestige of a dying sense. But again, if someone were found to express this sense as something more than a vestige, it wouldn't be a sixth sense. If it were, then tiredness would not exist. You'd be incapable of feeling it. You could never anticipate the arrival of sleep. You would eventually just collapse without ever seeing it coming. That would really threaten your survival. The sense of sleepiness precedes sleep so that you can find a safe place to submit to it. Without that sense, you'd be the most convenient prey in the world, and that would reduce your odds of survival almost as much as ESP would enhance them. Given that one of these two senses is possible in nature, everyone that you've ever met and everyone they have ever heard of is very sensitive to sleepiness, including me. I'm actually feeling a bit of drowsiness brewing in the sensical cauldron right now. Sleep is coming to claim me soon. So I am going to end this chapter here and find a safe place to do that submitting while feeling a sixth sense of accomplishment. CourtneyJensen.com